Shalom to all. Today's office bomb with Daf Samach Tes, and we are starting Samach Tes Amud Beis about 7 lines up from the bottom with the words Amar of Nachman. And today's office sponsor Leilu Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe Hernis Shama Shadav and Aliyah and Leilu Nishmas Mars Rivka Bas Rav Meir Zev Hernis Shama Shadav and Aliyah. Now we're in the middle of discussing a partnership which the Mishnah and Gemara calls Lemechza. Ein Mekablin fill in the blank Lemechza. One is not allowed to do this partnership. And how does it work? So we have Reuven and Shimon, investor and managing partner. Reuven, the investor, gives something to Shimon, the managing partner, either goods, money, or animals, and the deal is as follows. Shimon takes care of the investment, selling the goods, raising the animals, v'chulu v'chulu, and all profits and losses are split 50-50. For example, Shimon gave $100 and it grows to $120. That $20 of profit is split 50-50 and each partner gets $10. And of course, Reuven gets back his full investment of $100. And let's say it goes sour and only $80 of the original $100 is left over. That's a $20 loss. So Shimon returns $90 to Reuven, each partner taking a $10 loss. Now, since Shimon, our manager, takes responsibility for half the losses, it's really like Reuven loaned him half of these funds. Using different glasses, we say that the $100 that Shimon is taking care of is really split up into two 50s. 50 is Reuven's, and the other 50 is Shimon's that he borrowed from Reuven. Now, Reuven's 50 that Shimon is taking care of is where we have ribbis, because Shimon isn't being paid for his work on Reuven's behalf, he's doing it for free. And that turns out that Reuven's receiving extra value because he lent Shimon the other $50. And as we said in the beginning, this is called lemechza. The profits and losses are evenly split, and it's usur. The only way it's mutter is if, besides for receiving 50% of the profits, Shimon also gets paid for his work on Reuven's behalf. And the bulk of yesterday's daf was discussing how this can be done, and we had four braises that brought varying opinions. Now, three of those were very similar. Number one is Rabbi Yehuda. He had said, "Afilu loy taval imay ela betzir," even if all Shimon did was dip his bread into fish brine together with Reuven or eat a dried fig with him, that's already considered wages, that's considered schar, and there's no ribbis issue over here. Second opinion was Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's son, and he said something very similar, that even if the wages are minimal, it's okay. For example, if Shimon's raising Reuven's sheep and all he gets to keep is the little tufts of wool that get washed away by the river or pulled off by thorns, that's sufficient and that's considered schar. And the third opinion is from Shimon Gamliel. He holds that if all Shimon received was glalim, the animal's droppings, that's sufficient enough to be called schar. And with that introduction in mind, the Gemara tells us, Rav Nachman says, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halachas on k'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, all these three opinions that we just mentioned. Now we have a story. B'nei Rav Ilish, Novak Alayo, who star, the Havak Bay Palgab Agar Palgab Hefsid. After Avilish was nifter, a shtar came out on his sons that he, Rav Ilish, had taken on this deal of 50-50, this deal of mechza. That seems to be problematic because there was nothing added on for schar. And as we said, a deal of mechza without added schar, without added payment for the managing partner, is a problem. However, Amar Rav Rava says, Rav Ilish Gava Rabahu, Rav Ilish was a great man, V'Yisrael initially have a safi, and he's not going to feed Isser to people, which means it must be that there's something different about this deal that Rav Ilish did that made it that there's no ribbis issues. And what is it? Man of Shach says Rava, Ipal Gab Agar, Shri Tulsi Behefsid. It's either they're receiving 50% of the profits and the investor takes on 2/3 of the loss, Samach Tasim Alpha on top, Ipal Gab Behefsid. Or if we're going to say that the managing partner, Rav Ilish, is taking on half of the loss, Shri Tulsi Behagar, that means that he's getting 2/3 of the profits and it's not a 50-50 split. And Rav Kana says, Amri Slash Matzah Kamed Rav Zvid Minarda, I sent this member of Rava in front of Rav Zvid Minarda, but Amrlani told me, Dilmer Rav Ilish, Tavil Imer Betzir Hava. Maybe Rav Ilish dipped his bread with brine together with the investor, and that's considered his schar. Rav Nachman said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Normally he responded to him, Lav hilchsa itmar. When Rav Nachman said this, he wasn't saying the halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, ela shita itmar. He was saying that all three of these have the same shita, they all hold like each other, but not that the halacha is like them. And Nachman is actually logical to say that. If you're not going to say that, halacha. Why did Rav Nachman have to say, the halacha is like him, and the halacha is like him, and the halacha is like him? Lema, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. To make him a kulu. Why didn't Rav Nachman just say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? He's more makel than his son Rabbi Yosi and then Rav Shimon Gamliel. So just say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. It must be since Rav Nachman said that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel that he's simply trying to say that all three of them hold the same opinion, but not necessarily that the Halacha is like them. And therefore, Rava's understanding of what Rav Ilish's deal was makes sense. And continuing with more situations, Amar Rav, Rav says Meiser Shlish Bischarcha Hareza Mutter. If the managing partner Shimon was told that anything more than a third of gains belongs to you, that's permitted. So Reuven gave Shimon a calf to raise for him, and was evaluated at the beginning, and the deal was that any gains of more than a third of its current value belong to Shimon. Up until a third, those gains are split 50-50. More than a third, that belongs to Shimon, and Rav is saying that's permitted because that's his schar. Those gains of more than a third prevent it from being considered ribbis. However, Shmuel says, let's say it doesn't gain more than a third, so is he going to go home empty-handed? And if he does, that's a problem of ribbis. Shmuel says, cuts his light dinner. Reuven, the guy that's giving the the animal over to Shimon has to set a dinner for him. Namely, if there isn't more than a third of profits gained, Shimon, the one that's raising the animal, receives his dinner, so there's no ribbis issues. Ask the Gemara, Rav, Rav ain't cuts in like dinner. Rav holds that he doesn't have to make sure that a dinner is set for him just in case more than a third is not gained. Bama Rav, Rav says, Resh Eglo Liptuma, that the head of the calf is given to the fattener. Reuven has a calf and he gives it to Shimon over to fatten. Part of the stipulation is that when they shech the calf, Shimon not only gets 50% of the profits, but he also receives the head of the calf. Now, my lav, doesn't Rav mean the Amar Lay that Reuven's telling Shimon, Mazer Shlish Bischarcha, that anything more than a third is your profit, and if it doesn't gain more than a third, so then you could have the head. And that's the same thing Shmuel's saying. So Amar tells us Lay, that's not what Rav is saying. The Amar Lay is what Reuven is telling Shimon, E Mazer Shlish, Irish Egoliptuma. Either I'm going to pay you more than a third of the profits, or I'm going to give you the head of the calf, whichever one turns out to be cheaper. But in the situation where Reuven told Shimon, I'm only going to give you one amount, anything more than a third, that's your wages, and happens to be that it doesn't gain more than a third, according to Rav, that's not an issue. Because the mere fact that he told him he would give him anything more than a third makes it not ribbis. Ibai same alternatively, we could say, Kikama Rav, Maisa Shlish Bischarcha Mutter, when did Rav say that it's mutter to do this business deal? Kigan, for example, the Isle Behemoth of the day, we're talking about where Shimon has his own animals. The Amri Inchi, people say, Gvila Tura, Gvila Ture. That the same way a person is going to mix food for one ox, he'll mix food for many oxen. In other words, the reason why Maisa Shlish Bischarcha is okay, even if it doesn't gain more than a third, is because we're talking about a situation where Shimon, the one taking care of Reuven's animal, has his own animals that he's taking care of anyway. It doesn't take so much more effort to take care of one more animal. And therefore, Shimon doesn't need to be paid for that. And that's why at the end of the day, if there isn't more than a third gained, it's not a ribbis issue. And continuing on with another situation, Rabbi Elazar Me'agronya, Zavin Behema, Rabbi Elazar Me'agronya bought an animal, V'yoyev Leila Rise, he gave it to his artist, his sharecropper, to a person who he's doing a business deal with, Mefatim Le, so he should fatten it, V'yoyev Le Reshe Ba'agre, and he gave his partner the head as his wages, V'yoyev Palga Ravcha, and he also gave him half of the gains. Normally, the wife of Rabbi Elazar's partner told him, if you would have partnered with Rabbi Elazar monetarily as well, meaning if you would have chipped in 50% for this animal, he also would have given you from the tail of the animal. And so the partner decided, hey, that's a great idea. He went and bought an animal with Rabbi Elazar Me'agronya, and he raised it, and then they shechted it. And what happened? Rabbi Elazar Me'agronya gave him some of the tail as well. And Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar told his partner, let's go split the head. So Amar Lei, his partner told him, you're not going to treat me like you did originally. In our original deal, when I took care of the animal for you, you gave me the entire head. Why are you saying let's split the head? So Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar told him, up until now, meaning the original deal, it was my money, I paid for the animal. If I wouldn't have given you a little bit more, it would have looked like ribbis, like we've been discussing the entire time. But now that we're partners, because you chipped in for 50% of the animal as well, you don't get the entire head all for yourself. We're going to split it 50-50 like partners. And my ka'amrit, what are you going to say in order to be able to receive a little bit more? That I worked a little bit more? Because at the end of the day, the partner was the one that took care of the entire animal, and Rabbi Elazar didn't take care of it at all. Well, Amri Inchi, people say, a standard aris or sharecropper, the one that's taking care of the animals, he's mishabin himself to the owner of the land in order to find good pasture. In other words, it's a totally normal thing for the sharecropper to expend a little bit more energy or money in taking care of what he has to without receiving any extra money for it. And that's exactly what you did, says Rabbi Elazar to his partner, where a partner is 50-50 on this. And yes, you took care of the animal. That's a totally normal thing. And I don't have to pay you for that so that it doesn't look like ribbis. And continue to discuss these situations. If a person evaluates an animal for his friend, so Reuven gives an animal to Shimon, and again, they have this deal, it's going to be split 50-50, so Shimon's taking care of it. Until how long does Shimon have to take care of it? Shimon's taking care of this animal, and maybe he wants out early, he just wants to split the profits 50-50, and that's it, maybe it's too much for him. How early is he allowed to back out of the deal? So Simcha says, if we're talking about donkeys, he has to raise them for at least 18 months. But when we're talking about small animals, there's a lot of gidroi, sheep and goats that are put in a pen, so when we're dealing with those small animals, he has to raise them for at least 24 months before he splits the profits. And if he wants to split them within this time, the one that invested, Reuven, the one that gave him the animal, he's allowed to prevent it from doing so. And now pay attention to the end of the braisa. There's a difference between taking care of it this year and the next year. The first year taking care of a small animal is not so expensive and it's not so challenging. However, the next year, as it grows older and it eats more and it takes more care, it's much more difficult. So the Gemara asks, and here's the proper gears of the next three words, my aval de ka'amar. What's the braisa saying, aval? The word aval doesn't make sense over here. The Gemara says, El, rather, this is what the braisa means to say, because dealing with it this year is less challenging than dealing with it next year, that's why Shimon, the guy who's taking care of it, is not allowed to back out early. Because Reuven's able to say, look, if you back out early, I'm going to have to take care of it next year, and it's much more challenging to do so. And therefore, you're not allowed to back out early, as another braisa makes more sense, substituting the word aval for the word lefi. And the Gemara continues something similar. Tanya Idich, we have another brisa. Hashem behem l'chaveroi. Person evaluates an animal for his friend. So again, Reuven gave an animal to Shimon to raise. Amos echav l'tabel bevladais. Until how long does Shimon have to deal with the children that are born? Let's say Reuven gave Shimon a cow, and the cow had twins, and those twins are considered profit. And since we said the profit is split 50-50, Shimon takes one of them, but the other one belongs to Reuven, and Reuven doesn't want to have to take care of Shimon's because that's considered the profit. And the whole deal is that Reuven only takes care of the keren, the original investment, which is the cow itself, and not any of the profits gained. So he doesn't want to have to take care of that child. However, the Braisa is telling us that no, Shimon does have to take care of those little kids that are born for how long? Bedak, if it's a small animal, lama yoyim, 30 days. Ubegas, if it's a large animal, nun yoyim, 50 days. Or Rabbi Yesi says, bedak o gimel chadashim, if it's a young animal, for 3 months. Why is that? Mipnei shetipula miruba, because it needs a lot of care. And we just explained, matipula miruba, what does that mean it needs a lot of care? Mipnei sheshinei adakas, that's because it has very small teeth. It's unable to eat so well. Therefore, number one, it needs to hang out with its mother for longer, and it takes more care from the shepherd. That's according to Rabbi Yesi, we're doing with a small animal, it's 3 months and not 30 days. Again, back to the Braisa, mikan ve'elech, from there on, noitel mechza shaloi v'chatzi mechza b'shal chaveroi. If Shimon is going to continue taking care of these animals, so he gets to take 50% of the profits, which means he takes one of the animals for himself, and not only that, but he also gets to take half profits that are going to Reuven, because since he's continuing to take care of this baby animal that considered a profit that really should be in Reuven's rishos, that's considered like a brand new arrangement, a brand new business deal, which he gets 50% of as well. So he's taking 50% of the profits of Reuven, and that's a total of 3/4 of all the profit. And now we have a story about this. Ramanash Bar Gado, Shakal Mechza Shaloi V'chatzi Mechza V'shal Chaveroi. Ramanash Bar Gado, he was raising somebody else's animal, and it had a child, and he continued raising the child past the time, and so he took half of the profits for himself and half of his friend's profits as well. And he came to Abai, Amar Le, Abai told Ramanash Bar Gado, Man Pag Lecha, who split this for you? Who allowed you to take part of your friend's profits? Va'aydim, furthermore, Bakam Shana Gula Gadol Hu, we happen to be in a locale where the minug is that you have to raise that baby animal that really belongs to your partner without getting paid for that. Utana, we have Mishan Oman Bez that says, Bakam Shana Gula Gadol Yagdilu, that if it's a place that the minug is to raise that baby animal even past the regular time, the managing partner does have to raise it and he doesn't get paid extra for that. And therefore, we see an actual psak slightly different than what we just learned. We had just said, however, one of the reasons why Abai told Ramanash Bar Gado that he's not allowed to take half of the profits that his friend is receiving is because they never officially stipulated that that's what's going to happen. And therefore, he only gets his half of the profits and nothing of the investors. Another story, Hanuche Kusoi, there were two Yidden from Kusa, David Iske Bahad Hadadi. They did this business deal with each other. One of them went and he split the profits without his partner knowing about it, and then took those profits, reinvested them, and then took 50% of his friend's profits, because that's very similar to the animal case of the Braisa, that when he takes care of the baby animal past his time, he could take 50% of his friend's profits. And that's what he did over here. And he did this without asking his friend. Now, the other guy wasn't happy about this. So Asl Kamed Rav Papa, they came to Rav Papa, Amar Lei, so Rav Papa told the fellow whose money was divided without his knowledge and reinvested, Minaf Kamina, what does it make a difference to you? Meaning, who cares if your partner split the money without your knowledge, reinvested it, and then took half of those profits and then half of your profits? Hachem Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Zuzi, command the pligi damu. Money is as if it's already split 50-50, and therefore, even though he divided the money without you knowing, it doesn't make a difference. It's like it was already divided, and therefore, tough luck on you, Mr. Partner. Now, Lashana, the next year, Zav and Chamar Bahad Yadadi, these two partners bought wine together, and come Idich, the other guy decided, hey, I'm smart, I'm going to do the same thing that my partner did last year. And what did he do? He split the wine without his friend knowing, and also came to Rav Papa, the king of Rav Papa, Amar Lei, so Rav Papa told this guy, Man Pag Lecha, who allowed you to split it without asking your partner. So Amar Lei, this fellow told him, I see that you're going after me, you have something against me. Last year, you're poskening against me on behalf of my partner, and this year as well, you're poskening against me on behalf of my partner. What do you have against me? So Rav Papa told himself, in such a situation, I for sure have to explain what I'm doing. Usually, a dayan doesn't have to explain why he poskened one way or another, but over here, it clearly seems like he's shown favoritism to one partner over the other, so he felt like he had to explain himself. And here's Rav Papa's explanation to the partner. Zuzi mishakal tavi v'shavik chasri. When your partner split the money 50-50 without you knowing, did he take good coins and leave bad coins for you? So Amar Lei, the partner told him, Lai, he didn't. He split the money evenly. It was perfectly fine. So Amar Lei, Papa continued telling him, Chamra, kuli alma yadi de ikad basim, ikad lai basim. When we're dealing with wine, which is what you split without your partner knowing, everyone knows that some barrels of wine are good and some barrels are not so good. And therefore, you're not allowed to split wine without his knowledge. He received half and no one received better or worse coins. Whereas when we're talking about wine, you can't split it without his knowledge because each barrel of wine tastes different. And that's why what you did was wrong. And the Gemara team was talking about this gufo we had just stated divided. Amar Rav Nachman says, Zuzi Kaman Depligi Damu, the money is considered like it's already split, and therefore one partner is allowed to divide it without his partner's knowledge. However, we clarify this, Hanimili Tavi Tavi Tkuli Tkuli. This is talking about if we have good coins and good coins, or heavy coins and heavy coins. Aval Tavi Tkuli Loi. But if we're talking about two different types of coins that are mixed in, some are good, which means that they're easily used in the market, and others are heavy, which means there's more weight to them, they have more silver or gold in them, but they're not as easily usable. So these types of coins are not allowed to be divided by the partners without each one knowing about it, because again, it's two different types. It's not the same type. And we continue with the case that turns out to be ribbis, even though originally it might not seem like that. Rav Chama have a meiger zuzi b'pshita b'yayma. Rav Chama would rent out money for the cost of a pshita for a day. In other words, people who need money would come to Rav Chama, he would give them money, but he wouldn't lend it to them. He would rent it to them, and they had to pay him for the rental of his money. And what happened? Kol zuzi Rav Chama. Rav Chama lost all his money, as we're going to see. If somebody lends b'ribbis, they're going to lose their money. And who saw that? Rav Chama thought to himself, "My shnami mara. Why is this any different than a gardening tool? The same way that if a person has a gardening tool, he could rent it out, and there's no issue of ribbis. So too, he's renting his money out." However, the Gemara says, "Vulahi, it's not so. It's different. Mara haja be'ena via dia paschei. When a gardening tool is rented out, first of all, that tool itself is returned, and also you can see if it depreciates at all. That's what paschei means. It depreciates, and you could see that, and therefore this is clearly considered a rental. However, zuzi, when money is being, so to speak, rented out, loy haji be'nayhu, that money that was rented out, that money itself is not returned. It's different money that is. V'loy di'apachsei, there's no clear depreciation to it either. Even if the stipulation was, you have to give me back the same exact coin that I gave you, it doesn't depreciate. So obviously it's a loan. Even though he's saying, I'm renting you the money and you have to pay me a rental fee, it's still a loan, and that's ribbis. Now here we have two situations that even though money is being borrowed and some extra money is being given, it's not a problem of ribbis. Amar Rav Rava says, shari le'inish l'mir le'chavrei, a person's allowed to tell his friend. So let's say Ruben's allowed to tell Shemin, Heluch dalet zuzei, here, take four zuz, va'ayzve l'planya zuzi, and go lend the other guy, go lend Levi money. Basically, Ruvain is paying Shemin to lend Levi money. Why is it permitted? Because la'asra tayra ela ribbis haba, mi la'ive la malve. The only isra of ribbis is when the la'ive pays the malve extra for lending him money. But over here, the la'ive is not paying anything. Ruvain, who's not the la'ive or the malve, is paying Shemin to lend Levi money, and that's okay. But Maravarav also says, shari le'inish l'meimer le'lchavrei, a person's allowed to tell his friend, shagalacha arba zuzei, here, take four zuz, v'amr le'le pliny, la'izfen zuzi, go tell that guy to lend me money. So over here, it's Ruvain giving Shimon money to go to Levi and say, hey Levi, please lend Ruvain money. And that's also okay. My time of why is that? Schar amira kashakil. Because the money that Shimon's getting is schar amira. It's payment for telling Levi to lend Ruvain money. And that's also permitted. That's not considered ribbis. So we have a story about this. Kiyada Abamar, Bredra Papa, Abamar, the son of Papa, have a shakul ugna the kirimikirai. He would take pieces of wax from wax sellers, Varmali Lavua, and then he would go to his father of Papa and he would tell him, Isfinu Zuzi, go lend those wax sellers money. And Amr Rabban Rav Papa, the Rabban asked Rav Papa, Achol Bre D'Mar Ravisa, your son is benefiting from ribbis. So Amr Lehu Rav Papa told him, Kol Ki Hai Ravisa Nechol, such a type of ribbis is allowed to be eaten, meaning it's not a problem of ribbis, because La'as Retaira El Ribbis Habami Leiva Lamalva. The only issue of ribbis is if it's going from the Leiva to the Malva. But Hach over here, Schar Mir Kashakel Vishari, he's just getting paid for telling me who to loan money to, and that's permitted. And on to another Mishnah, and we've really had this concept before in the previous Gemaras, Shaman Parva Chamar V'Chol Darvish Hu Aysa V'Aycha Lamechza, one is allowed to do this business deal of Lamechza. If we're talking about a parah chamor or anything, it's oisav eichel, is a fully mature cow or donkey, and it does work, and everything that it produces is used by the managing partner of the business deal to pay for expenses and whatnot, and therefore it's permitted to do a mechza deal over here. Another situation which we discussed in Amud Aleph, makom shenagu lachlik is avladais miyad chelkin. If it's a place where the custom is that any children born during this business deal are divided right away, and the investing partner has to take his animals, so that's what has to be done. However, makom shenagu lagadol yagdilu. If it's a place where the managing partner has to raise these animals until they're fully mature, so he has to raise them and he doesn't get paid extra, and that's not ribbis. And we also said this before. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Shaman Egalim Imo Yusiachim Imoi, a calf could be evaluated with its mother, or a colt could be evaluated with its mother. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if Shimon is given a calf with its mother to take care of, and again, we have this business deal of 50-50, no extra money needs to be paid to him because he's not working any harder. The mother basically helps him take care of the calf. And again, we had discussed this two daf ago. And lastly, the Mishnah says, Umafras al Sodeu, a person could increase the rent of his field, and there's no issue of ribbis. And that's what the Gemara begins by focusing on. Tana Rabban, the Raisa says, Mafras al Sadeu ve'enu chash mishum ribbis. One can increase the rent of his field, and there's no issue of ribbis. Ketzad, what's the situation? A person rents a field from his friend for 10 kur of wheat a year. So over here, the deal is that Ruvain is renting his field to Shemin, and the rental fee is 10 kur of wheat per year. And then Shemin tells Ruvain, tell him asayim zoz, please lend me 200 zoz, and I'm going to take care of the land. I don't have enough money to invest in the land to plow it, plant it, buy seed, and wheat it, and whatnot, and so please give me 200 zuz to be able to do that. And I'm going to give you 12 kur per year, not just 10, but 12. Mutter, this is permitted. And it's not considered ribbis. Why not? Because we just view it as an investment. Since Shimon's taking this money and putting it back into the land, he's just investing in the land, making it worth more money. And therefore, it's kind of like Reuven himself is investing in his land. It's not like Reuven's lending money to Shimon and then receiving more because of that loan. Reuven's really just investing in his own piece of property, and therefore there's no ribbis issues. However, we continue, Aval ein mafres le'chanos le'ayav svina, we're not allowed to do this deal when we're talking about Shimon renting a store or a boat from Reuven. However, Amar Nachman Amar Abarvui tells us, pa'am shemafres le'chanos le'atzer batzura. Sometimes he could increase the rent with this deal if Shimon, the one who's renting the store, is taking this money, paint nice pictures on the store, or svina lazlo askaria. He's also allowed to do this if he's renting a ship from Reuven, and he's going to be taking this money to invest in a new sail or mast for the ship. Why is it it's not considered ribbis? Chanos le'atzer batzura saw, when Shimon's renting a store from Reuven and he's borrowing money so that he could paint pictures on the store, that's because people enjoy shopping in a store that has nice pictures painted on it, and such a store could be rented out for more. So it's like Reuven's investing in his own store, making it worth more money, and that he can charge more for rent. And therefore, the increased rent that Shimon's paying him is not ribbis. And furthermore, Sfina Las Lo Askaria, when we're talking about a ship that money's being borrowed to put a new master sail on, Kim de Shapira Askaria Tfei, Agra Tfei. Since the Askaria is much nicer, it can be rented out for more. And once again, it's like Reuven's investing in his own ship, it's not like he's receiving more for his loan. And once we mention the boat for rent, we're going to continue talking about that. Svinta, when a person's renting out a boat, Amar Rav, Rav says, Agra Upagra. Not only is he allowed to charge rent, but he's also allowed to charge Pagra, which means if the renter ruins the boat, he would have to pay for it. However, Amru Le Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav, Rav Kana Ravasi asked Rav, I Agra Loi Pagra, I Pagra Loi Agra. This doesn't make sense. If the renter has to pay for rent, he shouldn't have to take responsibility if the boat gets ruined. And if he does have to take responsibility for the boat getting ruined, so he shouldn't have to pay rent. Why is that? Because if you're saying that he has to take responsibility and pay for the boat if it gets ruined, it's in essence like he's borrowing the value of the boat, and then when he pays rent for the boat, so it's like he's giving extra money because he's borrowing the value of the boat, and that's ribbis. And what happened? Shasak Rav, Rav was quiet. He didn't know how to answer this. Now Omar Shesha says, my time Shasak Rav, why was Rav quiet? Because Lo Shmiel Le Hadatanya, he didn't hear the following braisa. The braisa tells us, Alfisha Amru, even though they said, Ein Mekablin Tzoyin Barzal Miyisrael, the ones I'll accept Tzoyin Barzal from a Yid, we're going to explain this in a moment, Aval Mekablin Tzoyin Barzal Menanachrim, one is allowed to accept Tzoyin Barzal from Goyim. What's Tzoyin Barzal? So literally this means iron sheep, and this is an interesting deal similar to the one that we've been speaking about the entire time. However, over here, the investor has no liability or responsibility whatsoever. It's not a 50-50 deal. It's an investor giving the managing partner something, and all responsibility is on the managing partner. That's why it's called Tzoyin Barzel. The investor's investment is like Barzel. It's like iron. He gets it back no matter what happens. So let's say we're talking about sheep because that's usually what this deal was done with. If Reuven gives Shimon a sheep with his Tzoyin Barzel agreement and something happens to the sheep, Shimon has to pay him for the full value. And the reason why that's ribbis is because in essence, Shimon is borrowing the entire value of the sheep. And when profits are realized and Shimon gives Reuven his percentage of the profits, that's like ribbis paying him for the loan that he was given. And therefore, this is also to do with a yid, but it's more to do with the guy. However, the Brass continues. Aval Amru, they said, Hashram par l'chaveroi, if a person evaluates a cow for his friend, Reuven gives a cow to Shimon, Bamarloi, and Shimon tells Reuven, Hare parascha asuya alai b'shleshim dinner, your cow is worth 30 dinner to me, vani al l'cha sala b'chaydesh, and I'm going to give you a sala per month, mutter, that's permitted. In other words, Shimon's taking full responsibility for the cow. He's basically saying the cow is worth 30 dinner right now, and I'm also going to pay you a monthly fee for allowing me to use it. This is permitted. Why is that? Because Shimon didn't take its value upon himself to pay Reuven if something happened to it. The Gemara asked right away, Valoya saw, Shimon didn't take responsibility for the value of the cow on himself if something happened. We just said that Shimon told Reuven that your cow is worth 30 to me, and I'm going to pay you if something happens to it. So Rav Sheshes answers that we didn't understand this properly. Valoya saw damim mechayim. He didn't take its value upon himself while it's alive. Ela lachamisa, only after death. In other words, Shimon's telling Reuven, if your cow dies, so then I'll pay you 30 dinner because that's what it's worth right now. However, it's understood that if the cow is alive, even if it goes down in value, Shimon could just return it as is, and he does not have to make up for that value that it decreased, and that's not an issue. Tzoyin Barzel that we just discussed previously is that the one taking the item, the boat or the cow or whatever it is, has to pay for it completely, even if it goes down in value a little bit. We're saying that this type of arrangement we just discussed is permitted because the only time that the renter has to pay for the thing that he's renting is if it gets completely destroyed, let's say the boat sinks or the cow dies, so then he would have to pay for it, but if it goes down in value, he doesn't. And then there's no ribbis issues. And now the Gemara tells us, Rapapa says, Hilchasa Svina Agra Upagra. The halacha is, like what Rav said, that when a person is renting out his boat, he can not only charge rent, but he also is allowed to charge the person in for the pagra for the depreciation in value. I know Ralph on top, we have a story about this. Vinog b'nei kufra, agra b'shas mashicha, pagra b'shas shvira. B'nei kufra were people that own boats. They're called b'nei kufra because they coat their boats with kaifer, with pitch, to waterproof them. So these people that rent out their boats, this was their minig. They would collect rent the moment of mashicha, the moment the person took the boat, and they would also collect for pagra if something happens to it, meaning if the boat broke or sunk, so then they would collect that as well. Asking where Atum and Hagatali Milsa, this is totally on minig. This doesn't have to do with minig or not minig. This is problematic, and just because they have a minig to do it, it doesn't mean you're allowed to have a minig to do something that's problematic. What's the problem? Well, manavshach, if it's a rental, so then they should only have to pay what it was worth when it broke, not the value was when they took it. And if it's viewed as a loan, and that's why they have to pay the full value of the lost boat, then they should not have to pay a rental fee. And even though our papa had just said that hilchasa sfina agra upagra, the havamina is that our papa was saying either or, but not both the rental fee and the original value of the lost boat. So my answer is that no, mishum demasisa tanya minhaga. It's because the brisa tells us it's okay. That's why it says that it was their minug, because they developed this minug, this custom, based off of the brisa. And this is the brisa we just spoke about before with the cow. And we explained that the renter is only paying for the full value of the cow if it dies. And that's viewed not as ribbis, but as part of the rental agreement, and therefore it's not an issue. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow talking about ribbis in regards to Yisaimim's property. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.